Welcome to the Mindfuckery Podcast, Feedspot's fifth must-listen-to podcast on emotional abuse. I'm your host, Elizabeth, and in here we explore areas others fear to tread. I've been a woundologist for over 20 years, working with past life wounds, clearing ancestral trauma, and working with this life wounding. Through my own personal journey, I know how much this hurts, how confusing life becomes. So many questions, no real answers. I'm an author, speaker, and healer, and founder of the Inner Healing Sanctuary, creator of Wound Talking, The Original Wound, and Quantum Glow. I'm on a mission to educate as many people as I can on the effects of trauma in our lives and our children's lives, healing the wounds of our mothers and our fathers. It stops here, it stops now, and it stops with us. So welcome along for the journey of a lifetime. And you are very, very welcome. So as we go into year three, how exciting, well, it is for me. I want to talk this week about grief. I was overcome with emotion recently and I just gave into it. It was actually grieving the person that I was. It was a realization that hit me that I'm never going to be that person again. I've got an online course called Grieving the Past, the Present and the Future. I dropped that in the description. And in there, I talk about the grief that happens and coming to terms with the ending of the relationship, breaking the bonds that were created. When I started on my healing journey, and I've written about it in the A to Z of emotional abuse as well, I talk about looking in the mirror, not recognizing the person looking back. And I talk about falling in love with a part of yourself. So what do I mean by that? Well, let's go back to the beginning of the relationship and let's look at the person that you're grieving, the person that you were in a relationship with, whatever the title, whatever the label you've put on them, whether it's narcissist, emotional abuser, it could be something else, your choice, no judgment. This person has walked into your life and you didn't realise this, but let's say they had a spreadsheet and you are a project to them. So they need to find out as much information about you as possible. They need to know your likes and your dislikes. They need to know where your boundaries are and they will set about pushing those boundaries. They create a persona for you. They become the person they believe that you want them to be or that you're looking for. Now, let's remind ourselves that these people are empty vessels. They're entities. They have no personality of their own. They don't know who they are. At their core, they're the vulnerable narcissist. Some like to hide and be the victim and others hide behind a huge mask as if they're on stage, lapping up the attention. So they like the idea of being in a relationship with you. They like the idea of what you can do for them, who you can be for them, what role you can play for them. They draw you in with words and promises. And then there's this combination where your two worlds start to combine. And then what happens is they start to take over your world. Your future that you are creating together is now more their future with a sprinkling of yours. And then once they've drained you of everything, once you've got nothing left and another new shiny toy comes along, they're off, leaving you wondering what you did wrong, what's wrong with you. At this point, you insert your words, whatever it is that you're feeling. I did a talk last night on the identity wound and healing wounds. And I've spoken over the last few weeks about the statements that keep us trapped in these relationships. So during the cycle of abuse, you went from idealization to devaluation to discard. In that devaluation stage, there would be so many different elements there where they have said something, done something, they're pushing boundaries to see how far they can push you. When you stand firm and say, no, I'm sorry, you know, that's a red flag for me, however you word it. And they come back going, oh, I'm really sorry. The statements I heard were, we're meant to be together, we're soulmates, and I want to change for you. I think there was a fourth one, but I can't remember. I got trapped by these statements. when I could start talking to the words in my head and I could start challenging what was going on and the things that I'd been told, the things that were wrong with me, down to my flabby ass, which was something that I was told towards the end of the relationship. So this cycle is running and it goes round and round and round until they want out, until there's that final discard. They discard you through that relationship in a way to bond you. And the grief that happens is the breakdown of everything. You're grieving the person you thought they were, and they've now not that person. In fact, you don't even recognize them. And the reason you don't recognize them is they've created a new persona for somebody else. Because they are vulnerable, because they're empty, they move on. They get another spreadsheet out. That spreadsheet has got the name of the new person on the top, and they start to learn who this is. They start to learn what they want. They start to learn their likes and dislikes, what they'll put up with, what they'll do in a relationship to keep the whatever your label is for your ex. They saw something in you that they liked. I looked in the mirror and I really did not recognize that person staring back. In fact, there was nothing behind my eyes. It was as if I was like that empty vessel and I literally couldn't see anything. It was just like a dark void. Then I started to feel a little bit more. I was more in my body and out of my head. It was with the grounding and the breathing. The honest conversations was a huge turning point in my healing. Because these people don't know who they are, they start to take parts of your personality. They like parts of you and they take it for themselves. And you hand it over. Yeah, of course I do that for you. Let me show you how to deal with this. And what I thought or felt was that looking back on this relationship, there was a mirroring going on. And then I was looking back at that. So really, I was looking in a mirror when this relationship ended. There's nothing left of me because I've given it all away, including, so I gave my soul away. That comes under the spirit. Emotionally, I gave everything. Mentally, I gave everything. And financially, I was wiped out as well. Every single thing to provide and nurture. I saw a damaged child. I thought I knew that I could help that person and give them everything that they hadn't experienced and received before. This person that you're in a relationship with, yeah, they want the attention. Yeah, they want what you can give them. Yeah, they want your cars. They want your money. But when you got nothing left, they're off. It's all conditional. They have no commitment to you. You can't fulfill their needs anymore. So they go. And during that cycle of abuse where between idealization and discard, there's this devaluation stage where they are trapping you when they being caught out for whatever they're doing. They make bold statements. You can insert here what you heard. Much like somebody who's physically abusive will say, I'm so sorry, I promise I'm never going to hit you again. They do the same with words. I got caught in that. And those statements trapped me. They were like my jailer. And I've spoken about this over the last few weeks because it's been a big realization of that is really the key to healing. These words trap. And I had various people surrounding me who were saying he's using you. And I was convinced, no, he'd never do that to me. Why was I convinced? Because he told me multiple times on repeat. And he also repeated this to other people in front of me. We're soulmates. We're meant to be together. I want to change. So I was convinced that this relationship was the ultimate relationship. He was giving everything up for me. I was the one. So I trapped myself with these statements, with this future that we were planning together. When things fell off in my body, when I saw red flags, I'd repeat the statements that I'd heard over and over again. We're soulmates, we're meant to be together, and he wants to change for me. Did it feel right in my body? No, but I convinced myself that our future was what I was working towards. It's like being hypnotized. It's like being taken over. And I felt at the end of the relationship or in the moments where I really wanted out, I felt like I was failing in some way. Maybe it was that I was letting him down. And yet he was the one that walked away. So The other day, I was going through this moment of grief. It was just a bubble that had popped up to be acknowledged. Maybe a bit of trauma around it, I really don't know. And it was the acknowledgement and the realization that I am not the person that I was. And I quite liked her. I think I spoke about this last week. In fact, I liked her a lot. She had got through so much, and she had gone through so much in other relationships. She got through a physically abusive relationship, then she entered into another relationship, and it was emotionally abusive. She didn't know that. She didn't even realize that until this relationship, and she could see the pattern, and she stuck it out, and she then said, I've had enough and I have to leave, and experienced poverty. And it was as if there was this punishment that was going on in the background. And even at one point, she'd experienced her ex laughing in her face because she had no money to bring up their children. And she then took that on and said, do you know what, I'm going to change this, and went and set up her own company. And she experienced lots of different setbacks, but she overcame them. And there were lots of different financial setbacks, and then came out really strong. And then she met someone who she thought she'd fallen in love with, but actually, perhaps she fell in love with herself, because all those really good qualities that he stepped into and created his mask from, part of it was mirroring herself. So there's lots of different elements coming out of this relationship. And I had to acknowledge this woman that I'd embodied for such a long period of time, who is now gone. And maybe there's elements, she's in my DNA, we've got the same DNA, and I've now got to, it's like having another relationship and creating another relationship. We're starting tentatively trying to discover what likes and dislikes we've got, and, you know, the different types and quirky parts of the personality. So what I think I'm trying to say in a roundabout way is there is an escape route, there is a way out, and grief is part of that. You need to grieve the person you thought they were, because they weren't that person. Maybe you're grieving yourself. You need to grieve the relationship. You didn't realize that you were going to be in this position. Where you stand today isn't where you thought you were going to be. And that's painful to look at. It's also, everything's been stripped back. You don't know how to live without them. They created that environment where they took over your life. Now you're left alone thinking, what do I do? Where do I go? Before, you had to check in, make sure they were okay, and then make sure your decisions were okay, and how they affected this person in your life. Did you feel that they were going to explode? Did you feel like you were walking on eggshells? So there's this grief of where I am now, I did not expect to be. Then there's the grief of the fake future that you created together. They've taken their own ideas, and then they've overlaid your ideas. And you recognize some of this. There's slithers of silver running through that are yours. Everything else is what they want, how they wanted the future to be. And it could be like the statements in the head that you have repeated this future and it's become yours. You've put it on like a cloak and you're wearing it like it's yours. So you're grieving that as well. And then the realization is that you aren't the person that you used to be. That actually could be a good thing, because you are healing the wounds. Those words, those wounds that have unpicked and unveiled insecurities that you might have. For me, what I heard was that we were meant to be together, we were soulmates, and he wanted to change for me. So when this all collapsed and it was all over, I had questions of what was wrong with me and why wasn't I good enough. They stem from childhood. I know they do. I know where they come from now. And I was able to start to look and address. And I start to ask, is this true? And start to look at what I can do to heal those wounds. And as I said, I was doing a talk last night. I've spoken about this a few times. When I started retraining 20 something years ago, I trained in Reiki. People talked about healing layers, peeling back the layers, like much like an onion. That's what they used to say. It's like peeling back the layers, and you heal one part and another part comes up for healing. And I used to talk about this as well. But now I talk about going straight into the core. If we look at an onion, if you take the core out, the onion falls apart. If you go straight into the middle and take the center, the core, And that is the healing that I do. That is the work that I do. That's what I want to share with people. Because if you can challenge the statements in your head, if you can challenge everything that you've been told and ask, is this true? That's what I was explaining last night. Our minds are trained. That's what they go looking for, the information. So if somebody's telling you that you're a useless person, that you're never going to amount to much, if they're telling you of all the things that you do wrong, your mind is going to look for other examples to prove that statement is right. So for me, this is about turning the whole thing around and saying, okay, is that true? Is that statement true? If it isn't true, let me go and find the examples of where it isn't true. So for you, coming out, I don't know what part of that journey you're on. If you're at the very beginning, start grounding and start breathing. And you can do this at any point. The grounding and breathing are key. Being in your body is key. Your mind has been tricked into believing the lies are your truth, and really it's the opposite. Then start having these conversations, start challenging some of the things. Is that true? And train your brain to go off and find the opposite examples of where that is wrong. Hope this has been useful. Don't forget, grieving is such an important part of your healing process, and remember to stay in your body. And always, I'm sending you loads and loads of love. Until next time.